is Higher Ground. Welcome to Higher Ground, the 30-minute radio revival that will warm your heart, going on to higher heights and deeper depths in the Lord. Bill Houston, pastor of the Church of God at Roseburg, will be here in a moment right after we put on the full armor.
Yes, we're putting on the full armor of Yahweh here on Higher Ground. I am Stephen Yah, and today we're going to answer a lot of questions about the keeping of Yahweh's law, his Torah, the feast days, and new moons, and his commandments, statutes, and judgments found in Psalm 19. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. And that would be a good one to continue in there. But first of all, I want to tell you what we believe so that you can see where we're coming from. We believe that we are depraved persons. We are all sinners before we are saved at Calvary, before the unmerited favor of Messiah who died for us on the tree, Messiah being our high priest of the order of Melchizedek. We are delivered from sin and our sinful nature by Messiah. Proverbs 28:26, that's chapter 28, verse 26, Ezekiel 3:19, Zechariah 2, and Zechariah 3, Daniel 12, verse 1, Joel 2:32, and 2 Corinthians 1:10. In Daniel chapter 12, and verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even in that time. And at the time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Also see Jeremiah, chapter 30. They shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book of life, in other words. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge, that is spiritual knowledge, as well as all the other things in the world, knowledge shall be increased. Reading there from Daniel chapter 12. And we believe in Messiah, that he was sent by the Father to die for our sins, for our transgressions, our iniquities, for the transgressions of his law, of his Torah. And that his law is the law of love, found in 1 John 5. For what is love? Love is keeping of his commandments. 1 John 5, verse 2. We believe in his name and the character, the perfect righteousness, the sovereignty of Yahweh, and that the only authority for our belief is found in the Scriptures. Not the Scriptures plus some other books, some other person's commentaries and writings, although they may or may not be helpful. Not the commentaries first and the Scriptures last. No. Yahweh's Word, the Scriptures, are the first and foremost in the authority. We submit to his authority. We believe in the Messiah and his blood, his Torah, his covenant found in Hebrews 8, where he says he will write his laws on our hearts and minds, and our sins and iniquities he will remember no more. Hebrews 8, We believe in the infilling of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit of Yahweh, found in Acts chapter 2. Repent and believe in Messiah, and be baptized or immersed in the name of the Messiah, according to Acts. And, of course, we're looking forward to the heavenly rewards and eternity with Yahweh, which begins in New Jerusalem. And that's according to Zechariah chapter 14, where we're keeping, and also in the book of the Revelation, where we're keeping this great supper with Yahweh and with Yahweh and all those in the family. And it begins there in New Jerusalem, here on earth. And we are going to enjoy life now and forever in His kingdom. And that's just a summary of a few things that we believe about Yahweh. Here on Yahweh, this Higher Ground program started back in 1986, I want to say, with Bill Houston of the Church of God at Roseburg. It was a Pentecostal Seventh-day Church of God, and his programs went throughout the world on shortwave radio, WWCR, shortwave. I think it was in Indiana, maybe, but it broadcast all around the world. And then it was in Eugene, Oregon, and Roseburg, Winston, Oregon. And those managers at the radio stations gave us the programs for free, and they ran day and night, the program called Higher Ground. But Bill has not been in touch with us for many, many years, so he's probably gone on to be asleep in Messiah. And so we wish all those in the family condolences, and we're looking forward. We have much hope for eternal life for those of us who are trusting only in the unmerited favor, and not in our works, but in the unmerited favor of Messiah. And that's what Bill and all these Seventh-day people have preached that I've ever heard. They've never preached that we're saved by works, but we're saved by the unmerited favor, commonly called grace. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace, or for by unmerited favor are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are created in Messiah unto good works, that we should walk in them. So, there are many, many scriptures here to share with you today. And first of all, the article given by the Berean Call recently in the March issue of the BereanCall.org, it says, the Hebrew roots and the leaven works salvation. And this is part two, and I'll just read a portion of what they had to say there. And then, of course, we're going to make a defense for the faith once delivered and bring out some scriptures for those of you who might be a little bit perplexed or confused by all the claims and counterclaims and accusations and so on. But if we were to look at that article, the Hebrew Roots Movement and the Leaven of Works, there we would find in the lead sentence of every paragraph that we could answer each and every one of those with a clear conscience and according to Scripture, in context with the harmony of Yahweh's Word. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. We are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of Yahweh's mouth, and we are not a religion of salvation by works, but a salvation by faith alone in Messiah. And as I mentioned before, that everyone has this confession to make, that we are saved by Messiah alone, by his works on the tree at Calvary, by Yahweh's word. And we must not separate the Old Testament from the New Testament, because it is His Word. It is one in unity. And we're living by that Word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh, found in Matthew 4:4. He says to live by every word that proceeds out of His mouth. Matthew 4:4 or Luke 4:4. But in that Hebrew Roots article, there were broad statements, misconceptions, and lying, and leaving you to wonder, what do these watchdogs do when they make exposés, when they expose other faiths? Are they just as sloppy and make such false statements as they do for the faith that we know from the scriptures? Not even living by half or one-third of the word. They leave out the gifts of the Spirit and then don't believe in beings that they say sanctified. They don't believe in that either. Saved but not set apart. Being made Kodesh and Yahweh's likeness and in His image. Walking in His commandments and statutes and judgments. That's a description that is given throughout Scripture. Throughout Scripture, all the way to the book of the Revelation. That we must be filled with His Word, immersed in Messiah, immersed in His Word by faith, by hearing the Word of Yahweh, and praising Him day by day, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh, being healed spiritually, and in all the ways that He blesses us with so many gifts. So, let's go to a scripture now that has been controversial here. Colossians, in Colossians chapter 2, let no one spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. As it says there in the King James. Now we're going to go to the paraphrase version of that. Colossians 2:8. And be careful to not allow anybody to ruin your walk through philosophy and empty deceptions taught through the traditions of men according to the foundational precepts of the surrounding culture rather than after Messiah's teaching. For in Messiah dwells all the fullness of the Most High in bodily form. That's verse 9 there. For in Yahushua, or as the author of this paraphrase, Hezekiah, and Jews for Yeshua wrote, for in Yeshua dwells all the fullness of the Most High in bodily form. And all of you are now complete in Yeshua, or as we have on our website, Yahushua. Now complete in Yahushua, the head of all principalities and powers. We're now complete in Messiah. He is the head. In who also all of you have been circumcised in your thoughts, and parenthesis, in your hearts, when you put off the body of flesh and sins of your flesh through the circumcision that comes through Messiah. Verse 12, having been buried with Him when immersed under the water, and now raised with Him through faith in the supernatural power of the most high authority, Elohim, who raised Him from the dead. Verse 13, so that now you who were dead in your violations of Torah and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He is now made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your Torah violations, having wiped out the record of death, the judgment brought down and written against us, and held against us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the tree. Having nailed it to the tree at Calvary. Having disarmed the rulers and authorities of darkness, He triumphed over them publicly, putting them to shame, and triumphed over them concerning this. He took it out of the way when He was nailed to the tree at Calvary. And He took out the record of indebtedness, or the record of debt, the judgment brought down and written against us. He didn't take away the Ten Commandments, His standard, for we must have a standard by which we all must live. And that standard, of course, is the Word of Yahweh. It is His commandments, statutes, and judgments, or the found in the Torah. And so we have to agree here with the Scriptures. We have to be under His authority not under the authority of some man-made thoughts. Having disarmed the rulers and authorities of darkness, He triumphed over them publicly, putting them to shame, and triumphed over them concerning this. Let no man condemn you, therefore, in eating or in drinking, in participation of a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come for the whole body of Messiah. And let no one deceive you out of your reward through great humility and angelic-like reverence exuded as they inquire and expound upon these things which they have not seen, thereby becoming conceited through the useless thoughts of their subjective reasoning, who do not uphold the head from which the body with all its joints and tendons is served, which all knit together grows with the increase of the Most High Elohim. Concerning the inward man, so consider it all. Verse 20, if all of you have died to the affairs of things of society through Messiah, then why do you live like a person of the in parentheses, Greek, why do you live like a person of the Greek culture around you by submitting to its decrees? Do not touch. Do not taste. Do not handle. And then he explains in the paraphrase, do not touch women, for example. Be celibate. As in the Roman Catholic faith, where the priest was not to marry. And do not taste, such as do not taste pleasant foods. And literally, if we were to obey this command, we should not touch foods become a glutton. We should not overeat, because that is a deep sin. So do not taste, lest you become a glutton. Do not handle fine material, lest you be tempted to live in luxury. Was a suggestion there. All activity indeed which leads to moral decay when abused and misused, but these are mere teachings and commandments handed down from men, which, though having an appearance of wisdom through ascetic values and acts of humility in which all involve self-denial, are of no value in subduing the sinful nature of the flesh. So that was the last verse of chapter 2. And next sentence says, but now if you have been raised with Messiah, then seek these things which are above, where Messiah is sitting at the right hand of the Most High, and set your mind on the things that come from above rather than on the things of the earth. For you have died to sin, and your life is now hidden with Messiah in the Most High, so that when Messiah appears, we will likewise appear with him in splendor and majesty. And then Jews for Yeshua suggests for verse 5, in parenthesis, so don't make a religion out of avoiding normal behaviors for fear of abusing or misusing those activities, but rather within those normal activities, and then end the paren, or parenthesis, within those normal activities, put to death through Messiah the sinful desires of your members here in the earth. Put to death the desire to engage in premarital relations and the desire to engage in ceremonially impure behaviors. Through him, put to death all your evil desires and passions, as well as the desire to covet, which is a form of idolatry. For it is because of these evil desires, and then parenthesis, because of these evil desires, not because of normal activities and behaviors, unquote, that the wrath of the Most High Authority, Elohim, is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So it sounds here that Paul is quite concerned with our behavior, that we are righteous, walking according to a standard, according to those Ten Commandments, not the traditions of men. And that was a paraphrase from Colossians 2 and JewsForYeshua.com. And Brother Hezekiah wrote that. You know, we could also go to the book of Acts, and as I've quoted before, in Acts 17, there's historical accounts here of Shaul, or Paul, in Acts 17:2. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Also found in the previous chapter there, in 16:13, where it said, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside. So it was on the Sabbath, the seventh day, not the first day of the week, commonly called the Lord's Day to some. On the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And then a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, etc. And then we see in that 17th chapter, in that same chapter, in verse 6, and when they had found them out, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Yeah, they were legalists, right? Whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Messiah. And they troubled the people, and King James, Jesus there, one Messiah. So we must be rectifying the common words. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken counsel of Jason, or rather taken security or bond of Jason, and on the other they let him go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11, These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we're reading here that these noble people in Thessalonica read the Scriptures, the old, so-called Old Testament, whether or not the things were so, and they studied, they received, they listened to the word of Yahweh. And there's another favorite that I have there in the book of Acts, that Paul said, after the manner of heresy. And see if I can find that one for you. But first of all, Acts chapter 20, Maasa 20:20, and now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward Yahweh. So that was a very important thing to preach on in those days. It doesn't seem to be any longer for the majority of churches, sadly enough, but there I get off the track. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward Yahweh, and faith toward our Savior, toward our Master Yahusha. Praise His name. And then in verse 27, Paul speaking again, and the previous verse says, Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of Yahweh. Now there is nothing in all of Paul's writings saying that the commandments, the Ten Commandments, or the feast days, the commandments, statutes, and judgments, were done away with. Although one could, come right out of being a heathen and start reading Scripture and go to Galatians and misinterpret that or misconstrue the idea that the law was done away with, not having read all the other scriptures that are for the law, the pro-law. If we went to Romans chapter 7, it would seem that in one respect that Paul speaks against the law, but he isn't. He's speaking against the use, still after Messiah has come, the use of temple sacrifices and the temple administration. And then later, he says, I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. He delights in the law. So he can't both speak against the law and speak for the law. So there's several different laws that are being mentioned throughout Paul's writings here. So we have to properly divide the word there of truth. And and then also Paul mentioned in chapter 23, verse 1, and Shaul, or Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before Yahweh until this day. So he's lived in good conscience, and he's taught the full counsel of Yahweh. They've read the word. And he said here in chapter 24, 14 now, this is the one I specified earlier, trying to find 24:14. But this now I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, they call legalism, which they call heresy, so I worship Yahweh of the fathers, believing all things which are written in the Torah and in the prophets. Also see other versions, such as the Hebraic versions, the Amplified version, even the Living version, I believe, of the 1960s. After the way, I confess unto thee, after the way which they call heresy, so I worship Yahweh of the fathers, believing all things which are written in the law, that is, in the Torah and in the prophets. And the Torah, of course, is from, the Torah could be considered from Genesis to Revelation, but specifically in the Pentateuch, Genesis through, or Bereshit, through Deuteronomy or Devarim, and some of those we have to really discern between what are laws made that were given to the priests and for the temple sacrifices, for the carnal washings and ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation, until Messiah came as a high priest for us. Well, and also Paul adds, and having hope toward Yahweh, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So he's looking forward to the resurrection, not as if the resurrection is past, overthrowing the faith of some. Then in, the feasts are mentioned many, many times. The Feast of Yahweh that are listed in Leviticus 23, Feast of Atonement, the Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles are all, and Passover are listed throughout Scripture and throughout the New Testament many, many times. I would say close to 24 times in the New Testament, not including Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Interesting, interesting that the feasts are still mentioned in not a condescending way, but an uplifting way that we're supposed to keep them. For example, 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 7, but am I out of Acts yet? I guess we could. Let's finish up. Acts 28:30. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, and preaching the kingdom of Yahweh, teaching those things which concern the Master Yahushua Messiah with all confidence, no man forbidding him. But if you were to go to 1 Corinthians, this is one of the scriptures or passages that were cited by this negative Berean Call article against keeping the feast. They even quoted this actual chapter here, and it has to do with Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, just listen. It doesn't need any interpretation, but I will make some comments anyway to make the understanding clearer. Paul is speaking, and it's in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. And he said in verse 7, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 5, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven." So there's still, here I'm explaining it, but has to do with unleavened bread, because it's talking about leavening. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Messiah, our Passover, is set apart for us," or sacrificed for us. "Therefore, let us not keep the feast with these legalists." No, it doesn't say that. "Therefore, let us keep the feast." What are you talking about, Paul? I thought these feasts were done away with. No. Well, that's what they tell us, but that's not what the Scripture says. No, that's twisted. That's upside down to think, why would the feast days be done away with when they are still in the future? They're not a shadow of things that had already happened. They're a shadow of things to come, as we see in Zechariah 14 and Isaiah 66 and Ezekiel, many, many other places. "Let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And somewhere I feel that he's insinuating humbleness as well. "And I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators." And then verse 11, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother," see, any man that is called a brother, a spiritual brother, "if he be a fornicator, covetous, or idolater, a railer, a drunkard, an extortioner, with such as one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do you judge them that are within? But them that are without, Yahweh judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person." And the context there is that a man was living with his mother in immorality, in sexual immorality, in that chapter. And so, let's see, one more note now. So we did 1 Corinthians 5, and we are receiving spiritual persecution. We are losing our jobs and are not getting promoted. We're losing our position. Sometimes in our employment, we're not able to buy or sell because of the Sabbath day, because our employer becomes, hopefully we'll be able to tell our employer ahead of time that we need to take off a week for Passover, a couple of days for Pentecost or First Fruits, in the summer, and in the late summer, the Feast of Tabernacles. We take off a whole week there. So altogether, when you add that up, that's over 2 weeks. Actually, it's about a third of our time, not just a tenth of our time, that we're giving to Messiah. And we're receiving persecution. Some of the scriptures that are very clear and very interesting here, and very encouraging, talk about persecution. Messiah addressed this problem here in Matthew 13. And he says, you know, if you're not built on the rock, then you'll be offended. Matthew 13, 21. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So we're getting persecution now because of the word. And a few more, two more scriptures on persecution. Romans and Timothy. So, let's see. Okay, the one in Romans, chapter 8 here, and verse 35. This will encourage you. And, you know, we don't need to worry so much about what other people are thinking about the feast days or about our keeping feast days. We need to be concerned about ourselves, first of all. But we do need to defend at times when we're being falsely accused, being called a bunch of legalists or people who are under a work salvation, things like that. We need to clarify that. And don't let other people get the wrong idea. Let them all have an opportunity to come in at the table of Yahweh and sup and dine together with his people, and especially with the Messiah. All right, that was Romans 8:35. It is, who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation, no, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, through him that loved us, through the Son of Yahweh the Father, that loves us. And then finally in 2 Timothy 3:12, and there's quite a few teachings in here, or doctrines, that taboo word doctrine. Oh, isn't that a wonderful word, actually? Because if we don't have the word, how would we know what to do? Is it supposed to come out of thin air? Well, for some, maybe, but I never really heard any truth out of thin air. And in 2 Timothy 3, yes, and all that will live Yahweh-like in Yahushua Messiah shall suffer persecution. So, there you are. There's your commandment. Now, start getting persecuted. No, that's not exactly what we're supposed to do. Don't go out with a so-called Messiah complex looking for trouble. But trouble will find you, possibly. You're guaranteed that anyway. And you shall suffer persecution in 2 Timothy 3. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them from. And then verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the pure scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in the Messiah, in Yahusha. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh, and is profitable for doctrine. No, that's not a taboo word. It means teaching. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do you want to be righteous? Some say no. Do you want to be invited to Yahweh's table, supper table? Some say yes. Anyway, verse 17. For correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that's why we do these things. That's why we keep the feasts. But the question is, why are you keeping the feasts? What are you trying to be saved by keeping the law? Why do you tithe anyway? Why do you give money away to the poor? What are you trying to do? Save yourself for something by giving money to the poor, and your time and efforts and your thoughts, and praying for the poor? You're just trying to save yourself by works, right? Wrong. No. You're doing these things out of a good heart. Well, hopefully. But, here's one of their statements now out of this article, Hebrew Roots, the Leaven of Works. salvation. Ha, 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 ha. Is that true? Huh? No, it's not. But it says, many in the Hebrew roots claim to be Torah observant, living according to the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, when what they actually are doing is being Talmud observant. Oh boy. Does that hurt? No. No, we're not Talmud. Talmud is the works of men. Adherents of the Hebrew Roots movement, they say, believe that they are following scriptural customs, when in fact they are recreating later practices and even medieval traditions. Really? Oy. I'm going to read one of those medieval traditions soon here from Deuteronomy 22. There. So, while you turn, they say, for example, the wearing of yarmulke or kippah, a type of skull cap. Oh, they like the baseball type better. Yeah, I think you could wear the baseball cap and still be obeying the scriptures. But anyway, they object to this practice. And the prayer shawl. Oh, boy, that's too bad that they're criticizing all this, because it's right in the Word. So I think I better stop right there, and then we could maybe finish the article, or finish part of the article. I don't know if we should or not, but because, you know, they could say anything. But this chapter in 22, Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy, is about love. And, yes, are you there yet? There's a lot of things here mentioned that women should not wear which pertains unto a man. That if you find a bird's nest in the springtime, that leave it in the tree and don't log it until the young are hatched. And about putting up a scaffolding in verse 8. Then for the safety of your employees, verse 9, about how to sow your vineyard. And why would this law have been done away with when Messiah died? That's crazy. Why it wouldn't be? Verse 10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Oh, they'd be unequally yoked, as Messiah later explained. Verse 11, thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts of woolen and linen together. And then here's this next verse in verse 12 about the tzitzit. And Deuteronomy 22, as it harmonizes with the rest of Yahweh's word, and these commandments and statutes are also written earlier. The first place of mention for the commandment about wearing a garment of diverse sorts of woolen and linen together is found in 19:19 of Leviticus, or Vayikra. Leviticus 19:19, or Leviticus, or Vayikra 19:19. I think the previous verse there says to love your neighbor as yourself. It wasn't a new commandment. It was a fresh way of looking at it when we get to the book of John there. Okay, verse 12, thou shalt make thee fringes. Oh, there's that word fringes now. We didn't look that up, but okay, which one of these is tzitzit? You'll have to look that up in your Strong's Concordance or your lexicon. The way to look that up in the concordance is look for the word fringe that's found in the King James Version here in this 12:12 of Deuteronomy. And then that'll give you a little number, and then that's Hebrew for an H for Hebrew, and you look that up in the back, and then it'll give you the meaning. A lexicon would actually be better. The Strong's Concordance is just sort of your Christian armchair version, which I don't want to put it down at all. No, it's great. There's so much work involved in that. How did they ever do that back before computers? It's way beyond me. They did it with Yahweh's help, but it's even more in-depth if you go to the Amplified Version or the Hebrew Lexicon, and it's well worth the $5 or whatever on the internet, or, of course, probably hundreds of dollars if you buy it at a bookstore. A really, really good Hebrew lexicon. Verse 12, thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, whereof thou coverest thyself. And you can also find other references in Matthew 9:21 and Zephaniah or Stephaniah 1:8. We're going to go to Matthew 9:21 here in a moment. And we'll go back to Numbers. We're going to do all of these. This is very important, of wearing the garment that the Berean call said was bad, that you're not supposed to do these things. These are going under the law again. These are legalistic things. But here in the scripture, it's right next to the next verse that says, here we're talking about we're wearing these tokens for Yahweh, these the talit or the tzitzit, actually. The next verse says, if any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman when I came to her, I found her not a maid, then the father and of the damsel and her mother shall take and bring forth the tokens of her virginity, the tokens of the damsel's virginity, unto the elders of the city and the gate. And they shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hated her, and gave all occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. So we need to have the spiritual tokens as well as the physical tokens of our virginity. That's the tzitzit found in Numbers, first place of mention, I think, Numbers 15:37. We know that they all had to wear them, or they would be breaking Yahweh's law. Messiah would have to have worn them too. Numbers 15:37 says, and he's speaking in verse 1, Yahweh spake unto Moses and spake unto the children of Israel. Now who are the children of Israel? They're scattered throughout the world due to the diaspora. Yahweh said that due to their disobedience that he would scatter us throughout the world. So you never know. You're probably, if you're not Greek, you're probably an Israelite, and you don't know it. Maybe we do know it, though. What's that? Well, Romans 11, we are grafted into the good olive tree. Romans 2 says, who is a Jew? He is one who is circumcised in the heart and not just in the flesh. Now, when you come in, it keeps reading here now in verse 2, when you come into the land of the habitations, and I give unto you, and etc. There, so verse 37 then, about the fringes. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them, so not just to the priests, but to the priests also, but also everybody, to the children of Israel, men and women, I assume, bid them that they make them fringes, tzitzit, Hebrew 67:34, or tzitzith, actually, tzitzith, a feminine of 67:31, a floral or wing-like projection, that is, a forelock of hair, a tassel, fringe, or lock. So that was 67:34. Bid them that they make fringes or tassels in the borders is Hebrew 36:71, or kanaf, an edge or extremity, specifically a wing of a garment or bed clothing, a flap, a quarter, a pinnacle, bird, border, corner, and feather. But anyway, an edge or extremity, specifically a wing of a garment or clothing, and the borders of their garments throughout their generations. So let me start, or restart. Verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them tassels in the borders or extremities of their garments throughout their generations. So speak, bid them that they make them tassels or tzitzis, and that they put upon the tassels of the borders or extremities a riband of blue. Riband is pothiel, 6616, bound, bracelet, lace, line, riband, thread, or wire. And blue is tekelith, the cerulean muscle, that is the color or violet obtained therefrom or stuffed dye therewith, blue, of blue, 8504, tekelith, probably the cerulean muscle, that is the color violet obtained therefrom or stuffed dyed therewith, blue. And it shall be unto you for a tassel, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments. Mitzvah, the commandments, a command, whether human or divine, collectively, the law. Commandment, law, ordinance, precept. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and, you know, what's the purpose? And remember all the commandments of Yahweh, and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments, and be pure unto Yahweh. It says holy there. I use pure because of what we taught earlier about that word. I am Yahweh, your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim, as he closes there, Numbers 15. So Yahweh is speaking to us directly through Moses and speaking to all creation there. In the book of Matthew, the Messiah is being approached. And we have a question here. In 9 verse 18, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. So he wanted that miracle, that healing. Oh, praise Yah. Yes, we do. And then Messiah arose and followed him, and so did his emissaries. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood, 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem, it says in the King James, the hem of his garment. So that would be the tzitzi that we were just reading about. The Messiah had to have been wearing that and had the full Hebrew attire, or he would be guilty and breaking the law. He wouldn't be the perfect Lamb of Yahweh. So she came and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. If I but touch his tassel, I believe that word there in the Greek, the word for hem, it should be, if I just touch the tassel of his garment, I shall be whole. Now, that was the way that healing was manifested in that situation. It doesn't always have to be the same way, does it? So we read there from Matthew chapter 9, and then somebody want to hear anything more about what they say about us, about the yarmulke or kippah, the cap by Jewish men is a tradition, they say, in the Berean call. No basis in the law of Moshe. Oh, I'm afraid it is. It's for the priests. Are you a priest in Yahweh? Are you a king or a priest? Yes, it does say that in the book of the Revelation, that we are kings and priests. It says that in Kepha or Peter. And then they say another apparent necessity in the Hebrew roots is the wearing of what is called a prayer shawl, called a tallit, a Hebrew term that is found in the Talmud, but nowhere is there evidence in the Talmud. Well, it might be in there, but you know, it was here in the scripture. I just read it. I mean, I've only been a student of the scriptures for 40 years or longer, but I assume that their study would go even deeper than mine, but they didn't find that. A Hebrew term found in the Talmud, but nowhere is there evidence, they say, of such a practice in the Hebrew Old Testament. Remember that we're to live by every word of Yahweh and not by men's traditions or what this teacher or that teacher or what the teacher you're listening to now says, but what the word of Yahweh says. All scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Works, 2 Timothy 3:12. Paul, here you are writing about works again. I thought we didn't have to do them anymore. I hate works. I just want to sit around and drink a cup of tea and raise my right hand and say that I accepted the Savior and that was all I had to do. I didn't think I'd have to go to church and do all that tithing and listen to that preacher anymore. Well, that's rebellion. Throughout the scriptures, Yahweh warned over and over to have a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone, and to submit to him, not in a over domineering, condescending way, that he's going to do something terrible to us if we don't do it. No, we don't even think about, why would I want to think about what the negative side of it is. Oh, I'm just going to think about what Yahweh is, of his wonderful power, his standards, his righteousness, how perfect he is, and his word is so, so pure, so real. It's the word of Yahweh. Chapter 9 of Daniel. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Some people say, well, I don't fast, I just turn off the radio for a day. Fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, and I prayed unto Yahweh, my Elohim, and made my confession, and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful Yahweh, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We're under grace, not under... No. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all the people of the land. Verse 9, to Yahweh our Elohim belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of Yahweh our Elohim to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Yahweh, because we have sinned against him. And he confirmed his words, which he spake unto us, and against our judges, that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven has not been done as has been done under Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses. All this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer. We didn't make our prayer before Yahweh our Elohim, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand the truth. Back in the book of Psalms, Tehillim, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the esteem of Yahweh, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid or hidden from the heat thereof. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes, the extensions of his Torah, or laws, the statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment, or mitzvah, the commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back, thou servant, also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my redeemer. The end of Psalm 19. Psalm 1, the first two verses there. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or ungodly, it says, but I say ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the Torah of Yahweh, and in his Torah does he meditate night and day. Just like, yes, David here meditates in the Torah, just like Paul here in the book of Psalms or Mizmor. There's so many scriptures. Psalm 119, there's so many that you could cite of keeping the law being a delight, being a blessing, not a curse, not being under some kind of a yoke of bondage, as they want to bring out there. They want to try to say that it's too hard to keep the law. No, it's hard on us if we don't keep it, because we want to be blessed. We can actually find a time to relax and take off the yoke of culture and the yoke of the world and get away from that kind of thing for a full day, 24-hour day from sunset to sunset, Friday night to Saturday night, as it were, in common terms, to keep Yahweh's law of the seventh-day Sabbath. He says in Hebrews 4, "There therefore remains a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of Yahweh." Speaking of the seventh day, he specifically speaks of the seventh day in Hebrews chapter 4 in the New Testament. So Psalm 5, a little bit here, says, "Give ear to my words, O Yahweh, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my Elohim, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Yahweh. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a Elohim that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity." So those who don't keep the law. It also says in Psalms that he won't even answer our prayers if we don't keep his Torah, or if we don't want to keep it. Of course, nobody can keep it perfectly. So we are to strive to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. "So the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. Yahweh will abhor the bloody and deceitful man." Verse 11, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Yahweh, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." So that's just a few scriptures about the Torah and keeping Yahweh's covenant. We're walking in unmerited favor and grace, or ke'en, the Hebrew word ke'en, continually, because we cannot perfectly keep his commandments, his statutes, or his judgments. We sometimes don't get ready in time for the Sabbath, and or we might inadvertently do something that we didn't that we knew was wrong, but we might do that, or let off some steam, or hurt our neighbor. We're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is our goal. The end of the law is to love Yahweh and to love our neighbor, but it doesn't always turn out that way. So we have to trust in the unmerited righteous, and the unmerited favor in the righteousness of Yahweh Messiah, for not only for salvation, but for also for our walk in Messiah, for our love in Messiah. And he will, I want to say fill in the rest. No, he will he will make us complete. We'll put on that robe of righteousness that he wants to give us. We talked about the robe of righteousness many times here on this station. And, even though we may fail, and we may have a sin of ignorance, and we're possibly disobeying some law that we didn't even know about. There's only a few. Well, man's laws, there's thousands of man-made laws. The New Testament has 1,050 laws, and we probably don't know, we're not aware of them all the time, of all those 1,050 laws. And if we just think of the two great commandments, to love our Father and to love our neighbor, we're still going to be forgetting what that stands for. What does it mean to be righteous before him? And so we will continue to study the word of Yahweh, and as we keep his feast days and Sabbath days and new moons, and daily as we praise him, daily as we study his word and listen to his word on the tapes and radio and MP3 and so forth, that we will grow, and we'll become more cognizant, or mindful, and recognize what we're supposed to be doing all this time, and not like this crazy thing of, well, you know, the preacher up there said that the law was done away with, and all I gotta do is just love my neighbor. No, there's a whole lot more than that, sir, or ma'am, and so I encourage you to keep reading the Word and to strive to be perfect, even as Yahweh, even as our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, is perfect. Thank you for tuning in today, and this is Stephan Yah. I've been sitting in for Bill Houston here on Higher Ground, the Higher Ground Radio Revival. And we urge you to seek for higher heights and for deeper depths in the Word of Yahweh, and to do everything within our spirit, within our, not only our little weak flesh, but in the spirit, to walk in His way and keep His commandments. So we'll praise Yah, we'll praise Yahweh for the Ruach HaKadosh, for the giving of the Spirit, the infilling, and for all those gifts, including the gift of knowledge and the gift of discernment, to discern between right and wrong as we read His Word and study it, and the gift of wisdom, as the Spirit moves us, we will even understand some things that we didn't look up on our own. We'll understand about the future, about the millennium, about eschatology, which means the study of the future times to come with the Savior. And so we go deeper with Messiah, deeper, and love the Father, Yahweh, and to continue to be faithful. And then when He returns, He will find His bride making herself ready for Him and having her lamp trimmed and ready and full of oil, the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, and walking with Messiah, walking on the tops of the ridges with Messiah, as it were, as we reach for higher heights and deeper depths in Yahweh's Word. May you be blessed.
His perfect work in your life today. Let Him make you more complete. May He give you strength to walk with Him, is truly my prayer, for in His name we ask it. Amen.
Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11 mentions, "The rain and the snow watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it."